Welcome in to another episode of the How Not to Be a Youth Pastor podcast. Derek and Kyle back for another episode talking about youth ministry, talking about life, talking about why in the world Derek is a master of stacking candy in Stonehenge-like shapes.
Don't you forget it. I've perfected the craft after spending countless months on this podcast where I don't speak a whole lot. And so I have time to...
Derek came out swinging today.
I do believe there was one episode in which you said, we try to make a habit of me not sharing. It's one of my favorite lines. You came on it so quick. So,
yeah, that was not one of my prouder moments. But no, we're excited to be here. This episode sponsored by our good friends. Not good friends doesn't accurately describe it. Nope. They are great.
They're
friends
family.
Of the show. Family of the show. That's an unprecedented declaration. Even for the two family members of mine that helped produce the show, we've never said that about them. Chipotle, great friend of the show, sponsoring today's episode. And by sponsoring, I mean they were...
filled our stomachs.
Our lunch.
And we paid full price.
We did pay full price. So there's that, but that's all right. No, it was delicious. This episode has the chance to go off the rails. Most of the time, to give a peek behind the curtain, Derek and I get together to record two episodes at a time.
Yep.
And then those two episodes fill the next 2 weeks of the schedule. And today, this is episode number 3
yep.
that we are recording. So
with a lunch break.
We did have a lunch break, but nonetheless, our voices are a little tired. Plus I preached last night, so we're not tired, let's be honest.
No.
We're 29, we can handle it. We do have some news that we teased at the end of the last episode that we would like to share with our beloved fan base.
It's actually pretty big news. I feel like we're kind of making light of this. This is significant news.
Arguably the biggest news we have ever released.
Yeah, that's true.
On the show. And the news is that, so we have, including this episode, we have 5 episodes left in season 3. You know, mm-hmm. we've always taken, the summers off.
Yep.
We have made the decision that we will be bringing the How Not to Be a Youth Pastor podcast to its end at the end of season 3. So we've got 5 episodes left and that's it. Derek and I have had extensive high-level company meetings
yep.
About this, and we have absolutely loved doing the podcast. We feel like there's so much more that we could cover. It really came down to just the absolute animosity that Derek and I have between us. We put a good front on the air, but we just hate each other and we cannot get over that.
Wow. That feels like an absolute lie. Cause I'm sitting here going, I wonder what everyone's thinking right in this moment. Like, do they think there's some kind of underlying scandal or something? Like, we just didn't get along. So then for you to come out that way was pretty classic. But no, like, I mean, seriously, we had a podcast, like, you know, a long time ago. Now we talked about sometimes you need to stop things when they're going well. And I mm-hmm. feel like we have done things well. And, you know, I really do think that for me personally and for you, Kyle, it was not an easy decision. I mean, it was something that we thought a lot about, and it wasn't a lack of desire, a lack of interest. It was just a culmination of there's just kind of a lot of things going on right now, and we just kind of feel like it's time, you know, to kind of transition into that next season of life and ministry and everything else. But just rest assured, Kyle and I still plan to get together, hang out. Our wives will be involved. We do not hate each other, as was previously disclosed.
Because I'm sure that our listeners, when they hear their favorite podcast in the world is ending, the glimmer of hope they're looking for is that the hosts will still get together.
Of course. Of course.
No, it really has been. It's been a fantastic ride. Three seasons. We will end with 115 episodes,
yep.
Which is more than everybody, including Derek and I, thought we were going to hit.
That's
so
very accurate.
It's been a great ride. Super fun. It's just one of those things where the season has come to an end. We're excited to allocate the, because there is a lot of time mm-hmm. that goes into these episodes, and we're excited to use that time for some different things. And you know, who knows where it leads. I've always joked that the original, so How Not to Be a Youth Pastor, another peek behind the curtain here. I don't even know if we've talked about this, but the idea with that name actually first came to me as a book, not a podcast. And so if we do make a reappearance, if we do make a comeback, maybe it'll be with a book.
Sounds awesome.
We'll see. So here's what you got to do. You got to make sure you subscribe to the show now that we told you it's ending, because if we ever make a comeback or if a book ever gets written, we will release another episode to tell you about it, and then you'll get that notification. So just because we're ending the show doesn't mean that you can unsubscribe, because you never know what surprises might come in the future. But all that to say, yes, we are ending the show. I don't want to get their hopes up too high.
Yeah, it's sad. But we have five episodes left, and we're going to go out with a bang.
We are. We've got some incredible stuff planned. We have a mailbag episode today.
Yep.
We've been teasing this one for quite a while. We're going to answer a whole bunch of listener submitted questions.
All from across the country, all from across the world,
across the globe. And then we've got a couple other episodes we're really excited about. Next week, we're going to dive into AI in youth ministry. That's going to be a fun one. That's going to fall. His tower. I could see it slipping. Oh, there it is. Derek's got a little too cocky with his candy tower here. It'd be a real shame if somebody took one of those bottom Reese's, because those are the ones that they wanted. But no, we have another episode that is going to be a Q&A style, but the format is a surprise for now.
Yeah.
So tune in next week. I think it's next week that we are announcing that. All right, listen, we got to really peel back the curtain. That's the theme of the episode.
Yeah.
This is the third episode we've recorded today, but of the three episodes, this is the first one that's going to air. So we actually already recorded the next two episodes, but I don't remember when we made which announcements.
Yeah. And we've been doing such a good job being organized up until this point.
We really have been. But anyways, so we got a couple episodes. We've got another Q&A whose format is going to be really unique, something we've never done before. So stay tuned for that. And then our very last episode, we are hoping to bring some special guests onto that episode.
Great friends of the show.
Great friends of the show. We've actually, here's your teaser, we've already established that these are great friends of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I can almost assuredly promise it won't be our wives, because I think that was a one-time thing, and yep. We will never be able to convince them to do that again.
Nope, especially since they did it twice.
They did do it twice. I forgot about that. But they did a phenomenal job. Phenomenal job. But yeah, we've got a great five episodes left. We don't have a quick question today, because all of the questions are going to be asked. None of them are going to be quick, because it's Derek and I. But that's okay. Derek, we're going to start off with probably the most hard-hitting question that we got throughout the entire question gathering process. If you could only have hot or cold cheese for the rest of your life, which would you pick?
Hot.
He didn't even hesitate.
No, not even a question, because here's the deal. One of my favorite, my two top favorite times cheese is utilized is one in a Mexican restaurant. The cheese dip you get at an authentic Mexican yep. restaurant is one of the greatest food items in existence. I will not be told otherwise on that. So the fact that I couldn't have that would be a huge bummer. And like pizza, if you can't have hot cheese, there's no pizza in your life. And no pizza in your life is really sad.
Please do not come into my podcast and stomp all over cold pizza like that.
You couldn't, though. Like, in order for
you have to eat it cold. It doesn't mean that it couldn't have once been hot.
Well, that's not what it said.
I mean, in cold cheese. The cheese is cold at this moment.
I guess that's fair.
So here's the question I have. How far does it translate? Like Cheez-Its. Does that fall under the umbrella of hot or cold cheese? Or just because it's cheese flavored, it might contain a little cheese, but it's not really a part of the category?
This is a great question for you alone. Because these are the like questions.
Like Doritos.
That's not cheese.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
That's like sprayed on orange powder.
Okay, so Cheez-Its. I think Cheez-Its are slightly more authentic cheese than Doritos.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
But I think that doesn't count into the equation. I'm going to have to agree with Derek. The only cold cheese I really eat are like cheese sticks or like sometimes I'll have like a cold sub. You got some cheese on there. But if I have to give that up for the rest of my life to eat pizza, then I'm okay with that.
Like
nachos.
Oh, nachos.
Yeah, Derek
so
mentioned
good.
The cheese sauce at restaurants. Man, you gotta go with that. All right. What question do you want to do next? We got some great ones on here. I actually think that question came from our great friend of the show, producer, or not producer, videographer, Tucker.
Did he really?
I think so, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm gonna pick this one. This is from Justin in Buffalo, New York. Kyle,
great friend of the show, Justin.
Yes,
man, he's been a loyal listener for at least one episode.
You know,
maybe more.
We've had some great conversations. we've really,
you and I?
No, me and Justin. We've connected, and you know, this has been a burning question. And so, what was your first sermon, Kyle?
Yeah. So, very first sermon I ever preached was on a mission trip with 8 hours notice, and I had originally planned on sleeping for like six of those 8 hours. We were in New York City, and we were going to go to a church.
Did
Saturday.
You see Justin there?
We did not.
I guess
no,
he was
no,
from
New
Buffalo.
York City, not
okay,
Buffalo.
Okay.
That was like complete opposite ends of the state, but whatever. Derek's New York geography it was not highlighted in his
it's my fault.
Small town Minnesota education. So we were going to go to a church service at a church in New York City the next day. And my youth pastor came to me literally at like 11 o'clock or midnight. He was like, hey, do you want to preach tomorrow morning at church? And I was like, I guess. Because
no
I was way. I was a like a sophomore junior in high school. I didn't know how to say no to an adult. And so, yeah, I was like, all right, sure. So I couldn't tell you what I preached. All I know is that I did preach. The first sermon that I preached that I actually remember was here in the youth group that I'm now the youth pastor of. Back when I was a youth leader, I preached on the story in Elijah where he lays on his side and then flips over and lays on the other side. And while he's doing this, he eats his food. God originally commands him to bake it on a fire fueled by his own poop. And Elijah negotiates. No. Ezekiel. Ezekiel.
I
Elijah.
Remember.
My bad. My bad. But he negotiates with God so that instead of his own poop, it is cow poop that fuels the fire, which I don't really know how that's better, but
but it's different.
Yeah, that was the first sermon that I remember preaching.
I'm so curious. Why? I'm so
that's a great question. Great question. We were doing a sermon series on like the weirdest stories in the Old Testament.
That makes a lot of sense.
And
okay.
That one's definitely up there.
So, I would say so.
Yeah.
My first, I was actually also in high school, and I got to preach to my youth group. I think I was a junior, maybe a senior. I can't fully remember, but it was somewhere around there. And same kind of thing. Like, I had a little bit more time to prepare, but our youth pastor was like, yo, you should preach. Like, you you would do a good job. And at this point, I had no desire or no plan or intention of becoming a pastor. And so I was like, yeah, sure. I'll probably never get to do this again. So I did it. I spoke on Psalm 18. Key verse being the Lord is my rock, my fortress, God is my rock, whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, that whole bit. And just kind of talked about the strength of the Lord. So
that's good.
Yeah, it's fun.
I like it. Next question. Let's see, which one do I want to pick out? Oh, this is a good one. Actually, I'm not going to ask that one yet because I didn't put in here who it came from. And I feel like we need to honor
I got
the system
one.
Here. So, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. This is from Theodore in Bridgewater, Virginia. Kyle, if you had to play an entire round of golf with club,
oh,
which one would you choose?
Oh, boy.
Also, thank you, Theodore. It's great to have your response, man. Hope Bridgewater is... treating you well.
Do you have any idea where Bridgewater is? If you say Florida, I'm going to
I said Bridgewater, Virginia. It's Theodore from Bridgewater, Virginia.
All right. Just making sure. Tire round of golf with one club. Putter's out for sure. Can't drive with that. I think I would maybe go with a 6-iron or an 8-iron.
Okay, why?
I'm really comfortable with those clubs in general. I think I'd go with my 6-iron. Like, it's a club that I feel a lot of comfort in. Man. I don't know. I like my 9-iron. No, I'm going to go with the 8. Because I feel like when I really max it out, I can get like 160 or 70 yards, 165 yards out of my 8-iron. And I think that's long enough that...
Man, you've put some serious thought into this.
It's
I like
long
it.
Enough that, like, on a par 5, it's not going to take me 12 strokes just to get to the green. And then when we get around the green, it's got enough loft that I can be accurate with it. So I think I'm going to go with the 8-iron. What about you?
I am going to go off of personal experience. So a few years ago, actually last summer, a former youth student of mine and I, we went out to play golf, and Kyle is probably a better golfer than I am. I know he's a better golfer than I am, but I can golf all right, but I would never class myself as a good golfer. And so, as we're going, and this student of mine was also kind of in the same boat. And so we just wanted to mix it up. So we said, okay, this entire hole, you only get one club and one club alone. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know what? I've heard of like pros kind of doing like a bump and run with a driver. I was like, I probably quasi putt with the driver. So I did a driver on a par 4, and I am not joking. This is like a legitimate, no mulligans, no like OB that I just kicked back in bounds. Like I got a legitimate par with
nice.
My driver because I had crushed my tee shot. My second shot was the one I was worried about, but I just speared it and it hit the cart path and bounced all the way up near the green. And I did a bump and run that was close and then tapped it in. And it was pretty awesome. So
that's pretty good. I like it. Okay. I'm going to apologize because I cannot for the life of me find who this question is from, but we're going to go ahead and use it as our next question. What will relationships be like in heaven?
Wow. Good
what one. Will relationships be like in heaven? Derek, you got a thought?
Why'd you have to come to me first?
Because I thought it'd be fun.
Okay. I'm kind of organizing my Google Docs. I wasn't expecting you. I'm organizing all
okay,
these
okay,
questions.
Okay, okay, I got you. So what will relationships be like in heaven? I assume, like marriage relationships and friendships that we have on earth, how do those translate? I think first thing you got to remember is that the relationship we will have with God in heaven will be so much better than anything we could even imagine here on earth. And so I don't want to necessarily minimize other things, but like the need or even the desire for those other relationships, I don't think is going to be nearly at, like, we're not even going to be thinking as right. much, hardly at all, if at all, about those relationships. I do think that we will be able to, like, Derek and I are going to get to heaven. I think we'll recognize each other. It's not like we're complete strangers
right.
in heaven. But yeah, what thoughts do you have?
It's my wife and I talk about this all the time. It's so hard for humans to actually grasp what heaven is going to be like because, you know, heaven really is like an infinite concept, right? It's eternity. It is blissful. It is holy without blemish. And so in our finite human minds, we can't physically wrap our heads around how incredible heaven is going to be. You know, I think some people would honestly say, like, you know, I'm sad to die. Like, I know what awaits me. Yeah. I know I'm going to be with Jesus, but like, am I still going to be married? Am I still going to be with my wife? And all these different things. And I've wrestled with this verse for a long time. I'm trying to find it exactly, but it's in Luke chapter 20. And it's when Jesus is talking to the Sadducees who, as everyone remembers,
they were sad, you see.
Yeah. Wow. That's really good.
Thank you.
Why were they sad?
Because they didn't believe in the resurrection.
So good. That's exactly right.
Hey,
they did
Bible
not,
school, baby.
They did not believe in the resurrection. And so they kind of give Jesus this riddle of, okay, after someone dies, you're supposed to remarry. So whose husband is it when they get to heaven, the whole bit. And this is Jesus' response. Verse 34 of Luke 20. Jesus replied, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage." People get married. Yep. "But those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children since they are the children of the resurrection." So I read that and I kind of sit here and go, okay, so that kind of, and what's hard is back in first century, marriage was kind of like, as it is now, a binding contract. It was, and even more so back then, women were kind of tied at the hip to their husband. There's kind of this ownership, if you will, and I'm not saying that applies today. I sure hope it doesn't apply today. But that's kind of where Jesus probably was coming at it from. But at the same time, I do think that there is a legitimate chance that marriage relationship, like my wife and I aren't going to be husband and wife necessarily in heaven. You know, we're going to be, this is going to sound so weird, but like to use biblical language, like we are brothers and sisters in Christ, you know? And so like we are still going to be united. We're still going to be, you know, together, but it's not going to be like we are married. And like that's hard for people to wrap their heads around, right? Because like you love your spouse, you love being with them, and I just think sometimes it's kind of weird to wrap your head around that finality of that union, you know. So,
yeah, no, I don't think I have any more.
Can I go to a happy question after that?
Yeah, we love happy questions.
Okay, it's kind of in that same vein here. So this is from Michael. Okay.
Michael
is from Thomas, Oklahoma.
Oh, dude, Thomas, Oklahoma. Dude, Miller's Diner, let's go.
Have you been?
No.
Michael, we did kind of...
There's a Miller's Diner in Oklahoma, probably.
We did scope out your hometown of Thomas, hope...
I didn't Google it. I don't know for sure that there's 1,181 people there.
I'm so grateful that this podcast has brought people like Michael into our life because, like, I'm gonna be
so
honest,
that we can invade their privacy.
I didn't even know Thomas, Oklahoma was a place, but now I know that Michael lives there, and Michael's a friend of the podcast,
or he at least lives near there.
Yes, exactly. So, we're so excited for his question. Here's what I would say from Michael is, how would you, Kyle, most impress your wife?
Oh boy! Well,
also thank you for knocking down my tower.
I didn't knock down your tower. I just tried to play Jenga and it didn't work. How would I most impress my wife? Well, it's a tough question to answer because I'm just so impressive in general. But I would say my humility is probably how I impress my wife the most.
I'm the most humble person I've ever met.
My wife is like, one of her top love languages is acts of service. And she holds a belief that I think is very astute, that everybody has all of the love languages. Some just are more dominant than others, and they probably fluctuate based, like, if you neglect one long enough, it becomes your top love language.
Totally.
But I would say, like, doing things around the house is a way that I show my wife I love her, but, like, me making her really good food. That's one of the things where she's like, ooh, nice job. Like she really likes that, and she enjoys good food. So that's what I would shoot for.
Okay, I'm gonna paint you a little scenario.
All right.
Michael, I'm not sure if you're married. I'm not sure if you are in a relationship, but here's a little recipe for success. Let me paint you a picture, okay? My wife, Meg, she gets home from work. It's been a long day.
Yep.
It's been a really long day.
Mm-hmm.
Impromptu, I arranged some childcare, so my kids are taken care of. My wife comes home to a house that is, like, spotless. Mm-hmm. It's been vacuumed.
Yep.
Like, the floors have been mopped. Blankets have been folded. All of the laundry that was in the corner has been not just washed, but dried and folded and put away. So the house looks like it's getting ready to get shown on the parade of homes. And waiting as she gets home is me, who's all ready to go and take her out on a date. Nice. And we go on a date, and she is, like, just feeling super, super happy. So clean house, spontaneous dates.
Like, awesome. The fact that you planned everything and yes. brought everything together, thought of all the details. You know, you didn't plan the date night and then think, oh, crap, nobody's watching our kids.
That's exactly right, which I've done before.
that's good. I like that. We're going to go international for this next one.
No way.
Maria over in Alicante, Spain.
Wow.
Great friend of the show. I probably mispronounced that city, but yeah, that's fine.
It sounds like it.
What do you struggle with the most in ministry?
Oh, man. Great question.
What do you struggle with the most in ministry?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to go. I think for me, it is just managing your insecurities as a leader. And what I mean by that is, I think a lot of times as human beings, we naturally carry insecurities into our leadership, right? Whether it's like I'm not a good communicator, or I'm not very good with administration, or I'm a people pleaser or a perfectionist, or, like, you fill in the blank of what it is for you that you struggle with. And I think that so many times in ministry, you have to, like, manage that insecurity and just kind of, like, go through it anyway, you know? Because I think what I've experienced is sometimes when that insecurity actually manifests itself and you actually see it play out. And so this is a hypothetical. Let's say you aren't a super confident communicator, you know? And so you feel that, you know mm-hmm. that, and all of a sudden you deliver a message and, you know, the youth student that you really wanted to come back doesn't come back. And you sit there and go, oh, man, it's probably because I didn't preach very well, you know? And, like, that pressure just kind of really, really gets to you. And so I think it's managing and understanding that as a leader, you are going to mess up. As a leader, you are going to fail, and trying to continually get better at that, but also understanding that at the end of the day, like, God's still going to move in spite of you. And it's not about being perfect and perfectly manicured. In order for the Spirit to move, you just have to be obedient. So, I think ministry carries a lot of pressure, and a lot of times you have to understand that you are a flawed human being and you have to get comfortable with that.
Wow. Yeah, that's really, really good. I think that there's a lot of... I don't want to call it comparison, because it's not It's like comparing yourself to your expectations or what you wish you were. As a youth pastor, I wish I never let any of these students down. I wish I always had the answers. I wish I, you know, I wish I had a bigger youth ministry, not because the church down the street does, but because I just want to reach more kids and I don't, and that frustrates me. I think that playing the hand that you're dealt and being content with where you're at. I would also say one of the biggest struggles for me in ministry has been you have to be you at some point. Like the ministry, I'm having trouble putting this into words. The ministry that I walked into was not the healthiest, and at some point, if something wasn't healthy, if something wasn't working right, if there was a problem, at some point, I don't get to blame that on the youth pastor before me.
Yep.
I don't get to blame that on the person before. It, like taking, like pulling up my big boy pants and taking ownership of things, I think was something that was a season that I kind of walked through a few years ago where I was like, no, this is this way, not because I inherited it, but because I allowed it.
So good. Pastor mentor of mine said to me when I was getting ready to take over the church, he said, you got 6 months. For 6 months, you can delegate blame, if you will. You know, you can say, well, that was because of what I inherited. But anything after 6 months, it's all you.
Oh, boy.
You know?
I was going to say like 2 years. Well, six months, he said, is but hopping, man.
And there might be some cultural things, right, that you can't shift in 6 months. But at the same time, like, you have to also realize that, you know, you do take ownership when you inherit something. And it's a real deal. So
that's good. All right. Next question.
Is it your turn to pick or mine?
I don't know. I think it is my turn to pick.
Okay. You go.
Let's do a local one. This one comes in from Jasa over in Ramsey, Minnesota. What is one of the most interesting things that you've learned or grown in through doing the podcast? Unless you've got one, I have a good answer.
Okay, go ahead.
So it actually comes from, you know, we kind of peeled back the curtain and hinted at it earlier in this episode even. But we are recording, we record these episodes two at a time, and typically, like, the day we record, those two episodes release 1 week and 2 weeks after we record them.
Correct, yep.
And the intricacies that go into talking about things, thinking through the mindset of when the episode is going to air, instead of where you are at now in reality. Like, there, I remember an episode we did once where you and I talked about, like, we asked each other, it was like, hey, what did you do for Christmas? Or what did you do for Easter? It was some big holiday.
Oh, yes.
And you remember this. It was like, hey, what'd you do for Christmas? And you shared, like, yeah, here's what we did. Like, it was awesome. It was great. This stuff. And then you threw it to me. I did the same thing. We recorded that episode like 2 weeks before that holiday.
Yep.
So none of that stuff had happened yet, but it aired the Thursday after the holiday. Yep. And so we had to phrase it as though that stuff had just happened in order to make it sound like we had just recorded the episode. So little things like that. It wasn't really on my radar when we started episode one, but growing and weaving some of those things in has actually been really fun.
I'm actually going to go along a very similar path here, but it's funny enough, I was actually thinking about this earlier today. I feel like when you start a podcast, you are even more aware of your nervous tics and your filler words.
Oh, no.
That even when you preach a message, you know, and I can honestly say I feel like this podcast has even helped in my communication of a sermon, because I am just over time, and full disclosure, I mean, I still use filler words like all those different things. It drives me wild. However, the podcast has taught me to slow down.
Yeah.
And just utilize and be intentional about the words that we use. And it's incredible how much that has really impacted not just my communication on the podcast here, mm-hmm. but even just on my podcast or my communication on a Sunday morning. I definitely have felt that difference. So, yeah. All right, I got one more of my questions that's actually outside of Minnesota, and everything else is inside Minnesota. I think I've kind of saved all.
We're saving all of the Minnesota local questions. People for yeah. last. That's fine.
So this is a really good question, a very question that's kind of made me think about it a little bit. This one's from Sunny in Gray, Georgia. Never heard of Gray.
Well, I was going to say Sunny could go both ways. That could be male Sunny yeah. or female Sunny.
I'm not fully sure. I personally know one Sunny who is a boy, but Sunny, if you're a girl, still love the name. Okay, where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Oh, boy.
About 5'8", 160 pounds.
I am neither of those things. I'm not going to tell you which direction for either of them. But no, where do I see myself in 10 years? I don't know. Ask the Lord.
Wow.
I keep joking when people like, you don't see very many 60-year-old youth pastors. And so in 30 years, do I see myself in youth ministry? No. In 10 years, I don't know. I also, like, we've talked about it a lot. We did 5 episodes on it with the podcast. Like, we are going through a pastoral transition with our church, and with that comes the reality that I might not be here in 3 months. And a new pastor could come in and you know, I don't mesh with his vision, or you know, they don't want me as the youth pastor. They want to bring in their own person. So it's kind of a hard question to answer in that respect, but I do think that I don't know. I can see myself in like more of an executive role in a church, whether it's, you know, I'd love to, you know, be here, or you know, maybe it's elsewhere. A lot of what I'm passionate about in youth ministry and passionate about in general lines up with a lot of churches' definitions of an executive pastor. And so that I could see myself doing that at some point. But it'd be hard to leave youth ministry, and it would be hard to leave, you know, this church and our community. My wife and I both have a lot of family in the area. It wouldn't be so hard to leave some of our friends. You know, I think we could use some new friends, but, yeah, I think that, you know, an executive pastor role, if I'm not doing youth ministry, I think an executive pastor role is probably where I'll be. What about you?
Yeah, I honestly think I can definitely see myself in my current context. You know, just I really love our church. I love what God's doing in our church. I love our staff. I love the area we're in. Love our community. I definitely can see myself and my family here for 10 years and beyond. But it is one of those things. I hope that, to go on a more kind of deep level, I hope that in 10 years, like, I'm just a better version of myself. Like, I there are so many things I want to just see myself growing in 10 years. And I've been telling this is kind of a peek behind my personal curtain and just kind of like letting you guys know some of my personal dreams. Like, I desire to retire a pastor. I think that the road and the journey of ministry is challenging at times. It's long, and I have seen a lot of pastors burn out and just kind of say, I can't do this anymore. And, you know, I don't want to be one of them. I want to be one of those that's in it till the end. And There's no shame in stepping out and nothing like that. I desire to retire a pastor, and I know to do that's going to require just some growth and leadership in me that I need to work on for myself. And so I actually in 10 years want to be in a place where there's a peace about me and just a joy for ministry that is contagious. So
Yeah. See, that's the difference between you and I. I don't want to retire a pastor because I just don't want to retire. I'm just going to keep being a pastor until I drop dead one day. Actually, no. My wife and I have a deal that we're going to go out together in a blaze of glory.
Me too.
Just a hailstorm of bullets.
Wow.
No, that's from something. What is that from?
Is that so? I was like, I don't quite see that.
I swear that's from.
I'm usually the movie buff of the two of us, and I don't recall that one. Not saying
apparently there's a movie called Hail of Bullets.
That doesn't.
Interesting. It's a short film. It is.
Yeah,
six,
there's a hail of bullets. Probably not
everybody
many
dies. starring a bunch of people I've never heard of. I can't speak to it, so probably don't go watch it. But it's only 6 minutes long. IMDb rating of 5 out of 10.
Which is not the lowest one we've seen today.
No, it's not. We were doing some, it wasn't even research. We were just somehow got on a rabbit trail pre-recording with a good friend of the show, Nate, who's the worship leader here at our church.
You guys thought our rabbit trails were bad on air. You should see what they're like off air.
You really should. But we were looking at the trailer for the movie Avalanche Sharks, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's like Sharknado, but with an avalanche. But somehow worse CGI than Sharknado. It's really something. Anyways. okay. Next question comes in from Alex in Grand Rapids, Minnesota.
Ooh, great place.
I've actually been to the Dairy Queen in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. But that's all I can speak to the show or the city of Grand Rapids on. Biggest podcast regret.
Wow. This one caught me off guard. I'm not going to lie. biggest podcast regret. I'm going to just go on overarching. There are just sometimes things I say, I'm like, man, that's stupid. Like, or I say things that like I'm not super super pumped about, like not like wrong things, but just certain quirks and certain you know, that kind of thing. But I mean, I can't think of any like huge regrets that I have from the podcast.
I will say this is gonna be Kyle's yearly moment of transcendence, but that's not
transparency.
Right. Transparency. There well it is.
Third episode.
And then I was going to say transability, and I was like, that's definitely
not right.
Kyle's yearly moment of, what was it? Transparency.
Transparency.
Why can I not?
Translucence.
That's, listen, I'm pretty pale skinned, but I'm not that pale skinned. I wish I interrupted you less through the last 112 episodes. I do that a little too much. So
like
that's
that
my answer.
Wow. All right.
What do we got next?
We only got a few more. We're getting close.
We're killing
here.
It.
This is from Nicole in Blaine, Minnesota.
Oh, great place.
If you could have any exotic pet,
what
would it be? Like don't think logistics. Yeah. Like, how am I going to feed this?
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like, it has to be like, let's just say you're one of those people that's like, look, I have
I got
a pet.
Yeah, quokka for sure.
I'm sorry, a what?
A quokka. Quokka. It is native to Australia. It is the cutest animal you've ever seen in your life. It just looks like it's smiling all the time. It's so cute. Yeah, that's literally it. Like, that's not doctored. That's a real smile, a real picture of a quokka. They're
that
so
is
adorable.
Not real.
The Australian government had to like pass a law to keep people from taking selfies with wild quokkas because it was like a huge internet thing.
Okay, so for those that are not familiar like me of a quokka is a small macropod about the size of a domestic cat. It's the only member of the genus Cetonyx. It's nocturnal and herbivorous. So it eats plants. Wow. Okay. I did not know that, Kyle. That's pretty awesome.
Australia passed a law in 2015, that they were at the time endangered. I don't know if they still are, but you could face a fine of up to $300,000 for basically touching a quokka, which is not good. So,
wow. Okay, I have a really, really good one. I'm feeling pretty good about my answer. A Black Panther.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Imagine you have youth students coming over, and it's like, hey, you can sit next to Rufus. He's my Black Panther over there in the corner.
Mm-hmm. That's a terrible name for a Black Panther, that's fine.
I didn't even think
if I was going to have a Black Panther, I'd name it something cool like T'Challa.
Wow.
Got him!
Wow.
Or Chadwick.
Gosh.
I'm going to roll.
What a great movie. What a great man.
R.I.P.
What if he just had like a, I don't know. I kind of like Rufus. I'm not going to lie.
All right. You can have Rufus.
You can have your quokka.
I will. His name's going to be Lenny. I don't know why. I just feel like that fits it. Next question. I put these two back to back for me because I thought it'd be funny. Nobody else is going to care. Following up Alex's question in Grand Rapids, Michigan, is Carly's question in Grand Rapids,
Michigan,
Grand Rapids, Minnesota, Grand Rapids, Michigan. What would be your least favorite meal, Derek?
Okay, I'm going to paint a picture for you. It's kind of my thing this episode. All right.
Yeah.
So
consider it on the canvas.
We have a bowl of tofu chunks.
Sounds disgusting.
Okay. Just the little chunks of little slimy tofu that you pulled out of your fridge. You then, on top of your tofu, you add some sushi rolls.
Sure.
Any and all sushi can be included. Then what you would do is you would douse it, and I mean cover it, in buffalo sauce. Like to where just like it just looks like one big pool of orange nastiness. And then to wash it all down, you'd have a big, tall glass of strawberry milk.
Pass. I'm going to pass. Is that an option?
I'm going to pass my lunch, but I'm even thinking about that. That makes me sick to my stomach.
Nope. Yep. Not interested in that. My least favorite. What would my least favorite meal be? I like the tofu angle. That doesn't sound like something I want. There was one time that I had like oven roasted kale chips. That was pretty gross. I think they were a little overdone. So that's probably why.
Seaweed chips.
I have had seaweed chips. Those are also gross.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I would garnish it with because I hate them so much are veggie straws.
I
hate veggie straws. They're so gross.
Why?
I don't know.
They're essentially tasteless.
No, they're not. They taste disgusting.
Wow. That's a take.
I think that's, yeah.
So tofu.
That wasn't really a meal. That was just a bunch of veggie foods straws? I don't like. Yeah, and kale chips.
Okay. We'll call it a kale salad.
Gross. A kale tofu salad. Yeah, no, I'm not interested in that either. Couple more. What do we got?
All right, here we go. You kind of, I kept this one in here only because we've kind of talked about it, but I'm gonna ask it again, and I think there's some value to it. Outside of what makes sense, like we've talked about, like if you weren't a pastor, what would you do? And you talked about like you'd be something in finance and everything else. But like if the skills could just be passed on to you just overnight, what would you love to do? Like
NFL quarterback.
Really?
Yeah, man, that'd be sweet. Is that not the answer you were looking for?
I don't know. It surprises me. You came out of that.
I think that'd be sweet. Yeah.
Man, I'd love to be a doctor.
Wow.
That'd be
okay.
Sick. Just like a general physician.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be anything crazy. I'm not right. Just like cutting people open for a living, but just a bona fide good doctor would be awesome.
Huh. That's pretty good. All right. You got time for one more question?
One more question.
One more question. This one's coming in from good friend of the show, Nora, over in Rogers, Minnesota.
Cabela's.
Is that where Rogers, or is that where Cabela's is from?
I know, but there's one in.
They just have one in Rogers?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. What's the least favorite or hardest sermon you've ever preached?
Oh, gosh.
I got one for this.
Okay.
So I'm a really big fan of expository preaching.
Yep.
I'm a big fan of, hey, let's preach through this book of the Bible. We'll take like 4 weeks and go through... what's a four chapter? Colossians, I think. We'll go like one chapter a week through this book of the Bible, whatever. And so there was a year where I did a chapter a week through the book of Galatians. And if I did not do the right amount of prep on this sermon series before I declared the series happening.
Yeah.
The book of Galatians is a fantastic book. But when you preach through it chapter by chapter, chapters 2 and 3 and 4 all kind of have the same message. Like Paul is slapping some people upside the head for trying to force Gentile converts to Christianity to obey all the Jewish laws and like get circumcised and all of this stuff. And so Paul is ripping them a new one for 3 chapters. So for 3 chapters, you're basically preaching the same thing. That was a challenge. I did not enjoy it. And it was difficult to try to like make it a little bit different each week. I did not do enough prep on the front end, and that's on me.
I'm going to go along the same kind of the wavelength as to why it was hard. I'm not even going to say least favorite because I would never say this is my least favorite series, but we did a same kind of concept. We did over the summer, we did Summer in the Psalms, which is a play on words.
Sure.
But, preaching through the Psalms. When there's 150 of those things and you could preach a whole sermon mm-hmm. or multiple sermons through 1 or 2 Psalms, it was hard to like really, you know, because realistically what I should have done is I should have started the prep months ahead of time.
Yeah.
But because life happened, I started the prep like a week ahead of time. So trying to like...
Trying to nail it down.
Was so difficult.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because it was a lot of stuff to kind of absorb. So
We did a psalm series, I think it was last year. We like did a 4-week series, just looked at 4 different psalms. And it was like... First of all, credit where credit is due. The one of the guys behind the Bible Project... the church, like, I don't know if he does pastor or did pastor at a church, but there was a sermon series he did along the same lines. And it was longer, but it was dedicated like, hey, this psalm deals with doubt. This psalm deals with pain. This, you know, like different things like that. And so I was able to utilize his resource and his prior research to narrow it down. But you're right. When you got 150 to choose from, it's also difficult because some of them are like 2 or 3 verses and that's it. And then you could preach for an entire year on Psalm 119. So it's difficult. It's not easy. You got a smile on your face and you're typing in your computer. I feel like you're looking something up.
No. No, I just have to tell you something off air.
Oh, I love those conversations.
Yeah.
Not
like it's anything sketchy, just like it's not going to have any relevance to what we're talking about.
Yep,
and
yep.
So I don't...
Been there. I think that does it for this episode. This is a fun one. We appreciate everybody who reached out. And
thank you to those who texted us. I know it sometimes when you're just trying to throw random questions in there, you're kind of like, I don't know if I should ask this or even go through the work of it. But it does help us to be able to kind of construct these mailbag episodes. So
yep, huge shout out. We appreciate it. keep reaching out in the future. 4 episodes left, which means that today Derek and I got through denial.
Yep.
And we'll be on to the other 4 stages of grief on the remaining 4 episodes.
Totally.
So stay tuned for those. Although, like I said, we already recorded those episodes and we did not plan on going through 1 stage of grief each episode. So that's on you guys. It's been a great ride. We got 4 episodes left and we're excited to land the plane. So with that, thank you guys for hanging out with us. I think it's about time that Derek and I go kidnap some quokkas.
Goodbye.